Just checking.
Yeah, she's here someplace. Hello? Hello? Oh. I can't have a relationship with the recorder. So, the parsha this week is Nitzavim and Vayelech. It's Nitzavim because the parsha before Rosh Hashanah is always Nitzavim. And it's Nitzavim Vayelech because this year there's a dearth of open Shabbatot. Right? Since all the Shabbatot, Rosh Hashanah is Yontif, so we're missing the Shabbos. So we read the parsha of Nitzavim, and Vayelech. In the parsha, the reason the parsha of Nitzavim is read on this day, or is read on this Shabbos, the Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah, is because the parsha of Nitzavim contains what is called the parsha Satshuva. The parsha Satshuva is Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed in Devarim. And the parsha Satshuva begins as follows. If you look at Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, Vayoki Yavo Alecha Kol HaDvarim HaEile HaBrocha VaKlola. So apparently this pasuk refers back to everything we've learned, everything we've heard about in the parasha of Kisavo, which contains Brocha and Klola. I mean, unfortunately, Klola is a lot longer than Brocha, but generally they divide into these two categories. Brocha, Klola. Vayo, the pasuk says again, in other words, be sure that this is going to happen. I mean, it says in the Torah that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. It's almost deterministic in the sense that it sounds like we don't have a choice. It's something we have to go through. It's a process that has to take place, and in fact, the history, Jewish history, for the last 2,000 years or so, maybe you could say even 2,500 years, has sort of indicated that the Brocha and the Klola are happening over and over again, right? In every stage of history, and every Brocha and every Klola. And he says, but the Torah says that there's an end to this period. That Brocha Klola, the period of Brocha Klola, comes to an end. And that end is described in the Torah by the verb Lashuv. Right? By that verb, to return. And it's described in this way, Vashevosa el Livovcha, right? And you will return to your heart. Or perhaps, and you will return to yourself. Vashevosa el Livovcha. Bechol Hagoyim, Asher Hidichacha, Hashem Elokecha Shom. And then the Torah goes on. It is, you will come back to yourself. Where will you come to you, back to yourself? According to the simple pshat in the Torah, Bechol Hagoyim, you will come back to yourself in exile, in the places that you have been dispersed to. And that's Asher Hidichacha Hashem Elokecha Shama. What are you doing there? What are you doing in those places? You're being punished. What's going to happen? What is sort of promised, guaranteed, without a doubt? Vashevosa el levovcha. In that place, you will return to yourself. Veshavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Right? This is a pasuk that was reformulated by the Navi Hosea, who said, Shuva Hashem, Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha. In other words, the Torah says, "V'shafto ad Hashem Elokecha," and you will return to God. And the Navi said, "Return to God." It was the now. Let's do it now. So in the Torah, there's a promise of v'shafto, and the Navi wanted that promise to be fulfilled now. This statement, ad Hashem Elokecha, has been the subject of a lot of interpretation. Right? The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Pei Vav indicates that we should take this literally. That v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha means ad kisei hakovod. In other words, in whatever way we could understand the geographic closeness to God, right? However we imagine that might play itself out, that's what these words mean, literal as could be. Ad Hashem Elokecha, until, about, to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found. V'shafto means, and you will return. Whether it means you will have the will to return, or you will be granted the will to return, that's not perfectly clear. And then the pasuk says, "V'shamato b'kolo, k'chol asher anochi mitzavcho hayoyim." So what is v'shamato b'kolo? There's a time in history, our time in history, when v'shamato b'kolo, to listen to the voice of God, is not perfectly clear to everybody. And even those people who are on the side of God, so to speak, it's not always clear to them, because they sometimes do the right thing and sometimes they do the wrong thing. So the parasha says, v'shamato b'kolo. Not listen as a command, but v'shamato b'kolo as a statement describing the matzav. So that v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, right? That v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha is not that. Does not mean that you will do tshuva for the averis that you did in the past. But v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha is a pasuk that describes a new situation that never existed before, that never was part of our reality, and that is v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, and then v'shamata b'kolo. Why v'shamata b'kolo? Because if you are ad Hashem Elokecha, you're with God, so then not shamata b'kolo becomes impossible, something that can't even not even be imagined. Odom Arishon notwithstanding. Kechol asher anochi mitzavcho hayoyim, as I command you today. In other words, what I command you today, and you'll see in the parasha, if you look at the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Israel, I know you're not going to listen. I know that there are going to be problems. I know this business about being a free will actor, you know, man being a free will actor, he's always got to express his free will by doing the wrong thing. But eventually there'll be v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, because that's going to become teva. It'll become the obvious, the natural thing to do. K'chol asher anochi mitzavcho hayoyim, whatever I tell you to do today will eventually be accepted as nature. Ata uvanecha, you and your children, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Ata uvanecha means that this will not, that we're not speaking about a momentary awareness, like something that comes upon you from heaven. There's some kind of prophetic ennobling of the soul. No. Atov v'necho. You'll be like Avraham Avinu. You'll have to not only understand what God wants, but you will be able to pass that understanding on to your children. And that is, you know, part of the theme of Avram and Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. I know that people always think in terms of, when they think of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak, of sacrifice, of the schus that they had in listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. In Rosh Hashanah, we come, you know, to the din, to the judgment, and we say, okay, maybe we're not such great sheikhs, but we have very good ancestors. You know, we come from good stock, as they used to say, here or there or the other place. We come from good stock. But that's not what it is. Ato uvonecha is a kind of dream. It's Gan Eden. The Gan Eden where you can take the burden of the tradition and pass it on to your children. This is not a simple or obvious thing, but the promise of the Parashas HaTshuva is that in the future, eventually, all the tzivuyim, all the directives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to be ato uvonecha. Because it'll work. It'll work. It'll be simple, obvious for the fathers to teach their children, because what they're going to teach them is the emes. And the emes is the simplest thing to teach. Once you grab onto it, it's so obvious that the lessons keep getting shorter and shorter. V'shov Hashem Elokecha Shevuscho V'richamecha. The shav is a verb. Hashem Elokecha will do something to you, will transmit you or transport you laterally from wherever you are. Where are you? In exile. In the place Asher Hidichacho, Hashem Elokecha Shava, the first pasuk. In the places where life was awful and miserable and unfortunate and unhappy, meaning that they were bereft of the spiritual moment, right? You couldn't generate that. You couldn't do it. You couldn't replace the Beit HaMikdash. You couldn't replace Yerushalayim. You couldn't replace Eretz Yisrael. So all of those places, that's where the tshuva process begins. And a corollary, now that people are going to be reformed, they're going to be better. They're going to be different. They're just not going to be able to stay where they were. So the shav Hashem l'kesh shavuscho, v'richamecha. What is richamecha? Rachamim is a synonym for ahava. V'richamecha. Not that God will have mercy on you and not punish you, but here it means, and God will love you. And the act of love, the goodness that God will bestow upon you, that you deserve, will be v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, because you just simply, it's simply not going to be appropriate. Because one of the great punishments of the diaspora is that you can live there. In other words, it's Am Yisrael. If Am Yisrael was Am Yisrael, you know, I'm sure that means something. If Am Yisrael was as it should be, then they wouldn't be able to live in Chutz La'aretz. Everybody says, is there an Isser to live in Chutz La'aretz? I said, I don't know. But you know, Jews, there are Jews who have the girsa, the yankusa, of not eating treif meat. Right? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky once said, he says, you know, there are mitzvahs that you have girsa, the yankusa for, and the mitzvahs you don't. He says, For example, he was sitting in Yerushalayim, in his son's house, and I came in to say hello as a courtesy. I didn't really know him, but I knew the son. So, you know, we're sitting in Shmuzin. He said, there's a difference between mitzvahs that you have a girsi diagusa for and mitzvahs that you don't. He says, if somebody would feed me treif meat, like, you know, ham or whatever, whatever a good example of treif meat might be, just dumb treif meat, a steak, a treif steak, and then I'd eat it, and then afterwards he would tell me that it was treif. He said, I would vomit it up. It would be disgusting for me, repulsive. I just wouldn't be able to deal with it. He says, but you see that tomato? So we looked at the tomato. He says, if I ate the tomato, and then afterwards somebody told me that they didn't take Trumas and Maisers, so okay. I mean, so I did the wrong thing. So I have to do some kind of tshuva. But I don't think I'll vomit. Because Trumas and I didn't grow up, he said. He didn't grow up with Trumas and Maisers. He didn't grow up with it. In other words, you become, you can develop a visceral dislike for something that's awesome. If it's part of your girsa d'ankusa. He says the same thing is true about Eretz Yisrael and the diaspora. The curse of the diaspora is that people like it. That means that their metabolism and their makeup, the way they are, doesn't need Eretz Yisrael. So he says that's the curse. And when this period of tshuva comes, the pasuk says, V'shov v'kibetzcho, that is an act of love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back from all of those places. Hashem tzivitzcho, Hashem elokecha shama. Because suddenly you do tshuva, you're not going to be able to live there anymore. You're not going to be able to put up with it. Those are going to have to pay money to get you to come to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to come because that's where you can breathe. And you won't go, you won't stay in places you can't breathe. And even if some Jews wander off, you know, as Jews do, and they find themselves in some little town in Montana, you know, doing whatever Jews do in little towns in Montana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them also. They're also in the deal. All those people in Montana, they shouldn't feel badly. Then, bracha. Tov, Riboy, it's again Avram Avinu over again. It wasn't successful then, but it will be successful ultimately. And there'll be Riboy, there'll be Tov, there'll be Brocha, etc. And then Pasuk Vav, Mol Hashem Elokech Levavch, Mol, as God will circumcise your heart. Which means, according to the Ramban, as I pointed out, that Mol Hashem Elokech Levotcha means you will change. You will become a different person. Your heart will be circumcised, meaning that whatever was in your heart or covering your heart that prevented you from seeing this truth earlier will be removed. And you will be a different kind of person. So that, not only you, not just you who went through the experience, not just you who felt suddenly this need to go to Eretz Yisrael, but the future generations will maintain this desire, this love, this need to do tshuva, to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So this is called, these psukim are called the parasha of tshuva. And the parish of Tshuva talks about Tshuva as being the prime motivator of the end of history. Not the end of days, I don't know anything about that, but the end of history. The Jewish idea of history was always that it's going someplace. It's true that it may not have yet arrived, and it's not what it should be. But that in some way, the framework of the end of history is clear. The end of history is going to be when everybody is where they should be, doing what they should be doing, aware of the difference between truth and falsehood, and having the capacity and the desire to make the right choice about Torah and about life. This is tshuva. Tshuva is therefore the ultimate mover in history. It's the thing which gets us to where we're supposed to be. It's true that tshuva has a function on the level of individuals, people who did transgressions, who have to somehow come to grips with their own standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their own standing before their fellow man. But tshuva is a much bigger idea, according to the parasha of tshuva, And tshuva is itself a promise. It's not a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it for us for free, but it's a promise that we will have the strength to do for ourselves what we have to do in order to end the exile. And what ends the exile, ultimately, is that people become unable to function within that kind of context. And you know that exile is not a simple matter. Not a simple matter. As Stuart will tell you, people go to South Africa, are thinking more in terms of Johannesburg right now, but you go to South Africa and everybody says, how can you live here? Now, how can you live here? People from Johannesburg go to Tel Aviv and they say, how can you live here? How can you live here? People from England go to New York and they say, how can you live here? Right? People from New York go to England and they say, how can you live here? Right? Everybody agrees about one thing, that the only place in the diaspora that you can live is my house. No place else. So you see that the idea of the diaspora living is kind of on shaky grounds for the Jews. They just have to get from this, move this idea from the I could never live where you're living to I can't live where I'm living, right? And that is a promise. It's a promise that we are going to be at some point in history unable to stomach that which we're missing, right? Not that it's bad. Not that living in wherever, you know, in the Five Towns or Borough Park. Not that it's bad. That is bad, but it's you're just missing out on a lot of good. So you know, it's sort of like it's unworldly living in Chutz La'aretz. It's unworldly because it means I'm satisfied. I know I haven't got everything, but I'm satisfied. You know, like I don't miss it. The desire to go to Eretz Yisrael is worldly. It's like saying, I want the best that there is in the world. I don't want to just live where I know my way around, but I want to live in the best. Right? That's what Eretz Yisrael is, and that's the promise. That's the promise that that this parsha contains. Now, the Pri Tzadik asks a kasha. The Pri Tzadik asks a kasha. The kasha the Pri Tzadik is as follows. If you look at, remember we spoke about Pasuk Beis, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha V'shamata Bekolo. The way I explain the words V'shamata Bekolo, you will listen to God or God's voice, I explained in saying that it'll be easy. That even though the Torah itself says at the end of Parashah of Vayelech that we have the Chira Chofshis, that we have free will, and that we could choose good or choose bad, which means that every choice is in itself difficult, but in the future it'll become easy. V'shamata Bekolo. The Pri Tzadik was a Rebbe in Lublin, right? Lublin is a town in Poland. Poland is a country in Eastern Europe. There used to be a lot of Jews there. And then something happened. But before that happened, Rav Tzadik lived in Lublin. And Rav Tzadik, as you know, was a Rebbe, but he had no Hasidim. Had no Hasidim, which turned out to be a blessing for us. Because since he had no Hasidim, he had a lot of time to write. And he wrote very important and impressive Sforim. The Sefer that I'm quoting from is called Pri Tzadik, and the Pri Tzadik is on the Parshat HaShavua. Goes through the whole Chumash, a number of articles on each of the parashiyot in the Torah. And he comes and confronts this pasuk, and he says, I don't understand. Why does the Torah keep talking about coal? Why does the Torah keep saying Vishomata Bikolo? Why doesn't the Torah say that you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why Kolo? And the thing that bothers the Preet Tzaddik about the word Kol is that that word is for him connected to Matan Torah. It's connected to the kolos that were heard on Matan Torah. He says he doesn't understand why the Torah itself, or the Torah in many places, I have a list of those places, but it's not important. They all appear in the book of Dvarim. And the book of Dvarim, I mean, it's important, but it's not important to go through it now. Bekol Hashem, the Shomata Bekol Hashem, appears 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 times. In the book of Devarim. Again and again, when Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving Am Yisrael, or was giving his last instructions of this type and that type, he said again and again, Kol Hashem. He reminded them of the Kol Hashem. And so the Preet Tzaddik says, I don't understand. Why Kol Hashem? So the Preet Tzaddik says, you have to remember. Oh, maybe there's a... Just 1 second. The Preet Tzaddik reminds us of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Here it is, Pirkei Avos in the Siddur, right? Pirkei Avos. In the sixth paragraph, what's called the sixth paragraph of Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. Omar Abishur ben Levi. B'chol yom v'yom, every single day of the year, bas kol yotzeis mihar chol rev u'machrezet v'omeret. Now what's a bas kol? What's a bas kol? A bas kol is the daughter of the voice. Right? Bas kol. It means it's not the voice. It's the derivative of the voice. Why it's called a bas kol and not a ben kol, or a ben kol, or bas ben kol, I don't know. But that's what a bas kol is. It's not the kol, it's a bas kol, like an echo. Could be called a bas kol. So he says, b'chol yovam, bas kol yotzeis mehar choreb. What's har choreb? Right, it's Sinai. But why do we call it Choreb? Because Sinai means when the mountain was in that special situation of Matan Torah. Isn't that Choreb? It's the other name. You could say it's like the secular name. Right? So when Matan Torah is going on and there's lightning and there's noise and that's Sinai. How's Sinai? Ask anybody. Ask any kid. Where was the Torah given? No one will say Choreb. Nobody. I mean, unless it's a quiz question. And you give the kid an ice cream or something. But ask a kid, go and ask an Ephraim. Not right now. Maybe you shouldn't ask an Ephraim. That's basic. But you ask a kid who goes to a Jewish school, where was the Torah given? They'll all say, Har Sinai. But here in the Mishnah it says, Omar Abishua ben Levi, because Yovio Basko Yotis Mechar Choreb. What's Choreb? Choreb is after Matan Torah. Choreb is when the mountain stopped shaking. Right? It wasn't like suspended in the air anymore. There was no kolos and broken. There was no sound and light show. Choreb. Bas kol means the daughter of the kol. Not the real kol, but a less than real kol. Yotzeis mihar choreb u'machrezet v'omeret, it comes out of the mountain and it makes the following announcement. Oy lehem lebrios melboner shel Torah. Oy is a Jewish word, which means very bad. Oy lehem. Labrios. What are brios? Created beings. It's not a close word like Bonai, or B'nai Yisrael, or B'nai Yaakov. It's not that kind of word. It's that kind of word where, like, it's a sociologist word. You know, you have these brios. These creations are running around. Like, what are they? Oh, we counted them yesterday, and there were 6 million of them. That's what the brios. That's what brios are. Machrezet, a karoz. You know what a karoz is? Someone who works for a living, runs around and makes announcements, right? That's what a karoz is. Machrezet, again, not personal. The Torah is insulted, is embarrassed. The brios, you know, who are these brios? And nobody. Because what made them somebody was that on this place they received the Torah, right? That was what they were. That's what they were. They were B'nai Torah. And they became brios. They became brios. They reverted back to some primal definition. You know, they're all running around in caves someplace. They're brios. That's what they are. Oy lohem, la brios me elboina shel Torah. What's elboina shel Torah? What is the distress, the insult that is given to the Torah? That they are brios, and that this Torah, and that the shidduch that was made at Har Sinai is not being properly maintained. Not being properly maintained. Shekol mishena osek b'Torah. Whoever does not involve himself with Torah, nikra nozuf, he's kind of insulted and spoken badly of. So what does this mean? What does this mean? So the pre-tzaddik says, pre-tzaddik was in Lublin, right? Pre-tzaddik was the Talmud of the... of the Kotzker, right? Okay. The pre-tzaddik, you know, label Eger with Talmidim of the Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer was a Talmud of the Kotzker. The Kotzker was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Binim, of Prishke. And Rav Simcha Binim was a Talmud of the Yehudi HaKadosh, and the Yehudi HaKadosh is the Talmud of the Chazim in Lublin, and the Chazim of Lublin is the Talmud of the Magid B'Mezrich. And there you have it. Everything. It's almost everything. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to B'nai Yisrael and he says to them, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecho v'shamato b'koloi, he says that you'll hear the bas call, not the call of Matan Torah, v'shamato b'koloi, you'll hear the bas call, and because you hear the bas call, you'll understand everything, and you'll understand that Sinai turned into Chorev, and that not learning Torah, not being involved in Torah, creates Elbona Shel Torah. And the Elbona Shel Torah means that the life force that you would have had, that was ours, was kind of rejected. It was put away, it was put aside. That's Elbona Shel Torah. V'shamato. And then I think what he means is, he doesn't say V'shamato B'koloi, that through the bas kol, you'll hear the reverberation of the kol that was on Sinai, which you've lost. And then the brios will become Am Yisrael, and the Torah will produce the life force. And then everything, so in other words, according to the pre-tzaddik, this process begins with Talmud Torah. This process, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecho,
But this process, which begins with Talmud Torah, is not just you sit and learn Torah and then everybody's happy. But by learning Torah, you have to feel what you're missing. You're missing the kol, you're missing Sinai, you're missing the relationship, you're missing it. And that's called Elbona Shel Torah. And that is the position of the Pritzad. I'd like to look at one other Hasidic vort, if I may. And that's in the Meshiloach, on the parasha of Nitzavim. So you know the Meshiloach is the Ishbitzer. And the Ishbitzer was the Rebbe of the Pritzadik. So it wouldn't be so surprising to us if we found things in the Ishbitzer that were similar to what we find in the Pritzadik. But there's a difference between the way they present it. The Pritzadik, for example, is very long and very involved and quotes many, many sources. And the Ishbitzer, one of the reasons people like to learn the Meshiloach is that he never quotes any sources, or hardly any sources, never says anything too involved. The things he says are not always understandable, but at least you don't have to look anything up. You know, so that's a blessing. So he says as follows. He starts in the Dibur Maschil. Is Perik Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Vayoki Yavo Elecha Kol HaDvarim Ha'Eila Brocha HaKlola. We said, remember we talked about this Pasuk, we said that there's a promise that everything in the parasha of Kisavo is going to happen. The good things are going to happen and the bad things are going to happen. Along comes the Ishbitzer, and the Ishbitzer says as follows. Ha'inyan Shenichtav Brocha HaKlola Hainu Ki Gam Eitzel HaKlola Nimtzo Gam Brocha Behester. Remember, we spoke last week about the Radomska, and we said that the Tver Shlomo said that the Nitzchiyut of Torah means that everything always has to have a meaning that's relevant. That's what relevance means. Relevance doesn't mean that the Torah says what I think, which is sort of like a modern notion of relevance. But relevance means that the Torah has something to say about every situation. And even the klolos, after they are finished and all done with, and we go into a different era of Jewish history, they somehow retain their relevance. So he says, the Meshiloach says, HaBrocha VaKlolo, why did the Torah have to mention the words Brocha Klolo to rub it in? The Torah says, Yavo Elech Klolo Dvarma Eila. And leave out the words brocha klolo. He says, "Hainu ki gam etel klolo nimsa gam brocha behester." That even in klolo, there can sometimes be brocha hidden. Vashivosa lebovcha hainu adover hazeh shegam baklolo nimsa habrocha. So, what is vashivosa lebovcha? What is it? What's going to happen to us? What are we going to see? That we're going to see that in the diaspora, in the punishment, in the midst of punishment, in the midst of klola, there's also something I can see about God. There's also something that I can understand, some kind of comprehension of God's will that is made available to me. That's called brocha v'klola. The shafto ad Hashem Elokecha, the next part of the pasuk, v'shamata b'kolo. What's kolo? The Meshiloach. Hainu kol pnimo'o hanimtso b'chol dovo k'nisir b'zoha kodesh. He says, v'shamato b'kolo. It's as though God's presence is really everywhere. You have to just be able to see it, to hear it, right? That's the kolo. He says, the pnimius of everything. In everything, there is that kol. V'shov Hashem l'kecha shivuscha v'richamecho. Hainu rachmanut shehi b'tmimus halev yitein locha Hashem yisborach b'divrei Torah v'talmud Torah b'cheshek u'b'tmimus. In other words, what is God going to give us? V'shova l'chichem 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 l'chichem. What's the love? What love? How does God give us love? According to the Meshiloach, by giving us
cheshek and tmimus, love for Torah and purity of action, tmimus. In yeni dachacha v'kseh shamayim, haynu dover shu es l'chora chok midatcha, shetucha letaken od yoseh mishomika betzcha Hashem lokecho, u'mishomika checho, haynu gam shom yitaken ozcha Hashem yisborach. U'mol Hashem lokech l'bovcho l'avos Hashem lokecho, haynu acheshek, שהיה אצלם לדברים שאינם טובים בעיני השם, ייתן השם את החשק הזה, ויתקן אוסו בעיס אשר תושב בתשובה שלמה, ואהבתו את השם, ומחשק לדברי תורה. So according to the Meshiloach, the most important word, the most important word in the parasha of Tshuva is Rishav, Pasuk Gimel, Rishav Hashem Elokech Eshevuscha, Verichamecha, Verichamecha doesn't mean, and you will, he will be merciful, or he will have mercy on you, but he, if the word rachamim means to love, then Verichamecha, according to the Meshiloach, means he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will make you into a lover. What is it that you will love? You will love the Torah. And therefore, according to the Pri Tzadik, the Elbona Shel Torah. The Elbona Shel Torah is a lack of love, a lack of appreciation, a lack of devotion. The coal, which represents the come now and take it now, the remaking of the Elbona Shel Torah into something else, that's Verichamecha, the Meshiloach says. And finally, the Nosan Hashem Elokecho, it's called the Olos El Ayovecho Vasein Echo, Hayru Adova Tava Rosh Nimsa B'choyitel Shem Oyovecho Vasein Echo. It always says, as though HaKadosh Baruch says that all of your bad traits will somehow be transferred to your enemies, Vata Toshu V'shamato B'kol Hashem Elokecho V'asiso, Hayru Acheshek. So the Beis Shiloach said, look, everybody has cheshek. Everybody has desire. People have desire for, some people have desire for mitzvahs, a lot of people have desire for things that are not good for them, that are not positive. So the Verichamecha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reorient your desire, will make you love the things that should be loved, will bring you closer to the things that should be brought close. And the Pri Tzadik, the Talmud, looked at the Rebbe's words and said, Verichamecha will enable you to hear the kol, the bas kol, that comes from Har Chorev and wants you to be taken Elbona Shel Torah. So that the parasha of Tshuva, as we said at the beginning, is the parasha that we read Rosh Hashanah. Right, it's the parasha we read before Rosh Hashanah. Because in order to go to Rosh Hashanah, you need the optimism of the parasha of Tshuva. It was Rosh Hashanah, a lot of Rosh Hashanah has to do with me, as part of Klal Yisrael, but with me as my achievement. How can I look up to heaven? How can I make a case for myself? Has to do with me. I mean, what gives me the strength? What can you say to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, okay, I'm willing to accept the judgment, because I know that it'll be all right, or it won't be so very terrible. The optimism which enables us to enter Rosh Hashanah in a positive kind of state of mind comes from the parasha of Tshuva. And the Chachomim were very careful to make sure that everybody would know, would be, have an opportunity to review the parasha of Tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. The parasha of Tshuva is what enables us to march on into the responsibilities of Tshuva, because we understand that whatever we've done, however we've been, in an ultimate sense, we're part of that movement. We're part of the movement that's going to wipe out Elbona Shel Torah, that's going to listen to the Bas Kol Al Chorev and to the reorienting of the Cheshek giving me the ability to use my qualities in the best possible way. Have a good Shabbos.